Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 69 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a wild trip through the 1987 John Hughes comedy, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me again on this lovely Thursday morning is Duncan Shields, the co-host of the Time Bandits Minute, chronologically speaking. He's also an author, a poet, an artist, an animator, and a really fun guy to talk to all week. How's that?
I love it. It's good to me.
Especially when we're stuck in the El Rancho Motel in the middle
El Rancho.
In the middle of southern Illinois.
Yep.
So minute 69 begins with Neil finishing to make his offer and ends with a car beginning to back up. So yesterday, Neil and Dell entered this motel and had hopes of finding some place to lay their heads for the night, and Neil's credit cards are all burnt to a crisp, and he decides that he's going to try and pay cash. So he tells the clerk that he will pay cash. So then the clerk says, well, that'll be $42.50. And then Neil says, all right. And then we see him start searching through his pants pocket, and he pulls out crumpled bills and some coins. And then we get a shot of Dell looking around, taking it all in. Neil starts counting out his money and puts it on the table. And he says, well, I'm willing to give you $17.
best I can do is $17.
Yeah. Now, how much do you think it costs to rent a motel room in 1987?
$42.50?
Well, according to the research that I did, economy motel prices are anywhere between $16 to the highest would be $50. Okay. But what that means is that this is a pretty expensive motel for 1987.
Well, and it's not surprising. The place is obviously the best. It's the most deluxe motel
that especially I've seen since in the it movie, has two neon signs that says office.
Yeah. Right.
Makes sense.
Oh, that's pretty expensive there. They're getting a little they're getting robbed while they're on the highway. I wish there was a term for that.
Highway robbery, maybe?
I guess, yeah, that's the term.
Or something like that. No, but according to the article that I found, most places charge between $30 and $40 at that time. So it's close. It's close to what it really should have been.
Yes.
And
$16 sounds like that must be a really dodgy place. $16 is like, whoa. There's a sleeping bag and a broom closet.
So then the clerk says, I can't do that. And he's smart again. He's giving him a look that, nah, I can't do that.
because he's like got all the time in the world. He's in a position of power, but he's trying to bring normalcy to this bonkers interchange that's happening where he's like, I can't do that. Like, why
exactly.
Is this proposal?
And then Neil
the
says to him, please have mercy. I've been wearing the same underwear since Tuesday. Now, you do realize that this is Wednesday night. He's not really, it's not as if it's that long.
I thought
exactly. Like he makes it sound as if he's been there all week, And then Dell pops in and says, I can vouch for that.
Great. Stay off my side, Dell.
And then the clerk then picks up a cigarette and puts it in his mouth, basically saying, you're wasting my time. I want to go back to sleep. Stop bothering me.
Yeah, he's like,
and he goes, I don't
kind of
I don't,
check
I,
it
I,
out.
I don't realize it.
I don't own the place. He's got this great
and
understated acting
Neil,
from him here.
You know, we see the money on the counter. You can actually count it out that it is $17. There's a $10 bill. There's a $5 bill.
Oh, good.
There are six quarters. Now, one of those quarters is slightly hidden, And at first I thought maybe it was a nickel, but it's not, because it has the ridges on the side. So I figured out that that is a quarter and five dimes. I did a little bit of research about U.S. currency. So, first of all, the $5 bill.
Good.
Okay, do you know what year? Well, first of all, you know who's on the $5 bill, right?
No idea.
Oh, that's right. You're Canadian.
I'm a Canadian.
I forgot. I'm sorry.
Andrew Jackson.
No.
I'm going to say Andrew Jackson.
Sorry about that. Abraham Lincoln. I forgot. Right.
Ah, Lincoln. He's famous. He was like a president, I think.
Yes. So there was a portrait that was... that was painted by the artist Matthew Brady in 1864. And that's the one that they still use on the $5 bill.
Hey, good for, sorry, who Brady?
Matthew Brady.
Matthew Brady, good for Matthew Brady. That's a good thing to have your portrait still being looked at by so many people.
Yes.
Does this say that on the bill? Does it say
portrait by Matthew Brady? No, I don't think so.
That would be cool.
That would be. I can understand why that would be interesting.
I wonder if he got a flat fee or if there's still royalties going on. Probably not for his descendants. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
You got half a cent from every Lincoln spent.
Very good.
So rich.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway. So from the research that I was able to do, they actually started printing out bills of the $5 for $5 in 1928.
That's a later than I would have expected.
Yes, because they used a lot of different types of they used more coins before that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, I guess the coins went further, right? So I guess, because you could buy, I don't know, a house for $80, back in the day, like if you were giving, like you had the penny candy stores, right? If you sent a kid to do the shopping and gave him 50 cents, he could come back with like a week's worth of food or something. So,
right.
I guess it would make sense that there would be more coins than bills.
Right. I mean, that's what I saw. There were bills beforehand.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
It wasn't that they only used coins before that. According to what I saw, the $5 bill as we know it now was what was created in 1929. And obviously it's gone through many different changes over the years. They've redesigned it a few times and things like that. It's basically made out of 75% cotton and 25% linen, which is cool to know that what it's actually made of. So then the $10 bill, okay, that's the one that actually has Alexander Houghton.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know who painted that portrait by John Trumbull. There you go. In 1805.
It looked like a John Trumbull.
Yes. So in 1861, the first $10 bill was issued as a demand note, and it actually had a portrait of Lincoln on it.
Oh,
well, yeah. Then it had, in 1863, they changed it to the portrait of Salmon Chase. I don't know who that was.
Salmon Chase, like maybe Chase Bank?
Could be. And then in 1869, they had them featuring Daniel Webster. And then in 1870, it had pictures of Benjamin Franklin on it. I guess the $10 bill, they really couldn't figure out who they wanted to put on it.
Salmon Chase was an American politician and jurist who served as the 6th Chief Justice of the United States. Wow. Served as the 23rd Governor of Ohio, and served as the 25th United States Secretary of the Treasury. So
okay,
that's funny that he was the Secretary of the Treasury and he had his own face put on the money. Dude, come on.
I guess that makes sense. And I mean, it's amazing the number of people that were on the $10 bill over the years. They had someone named Robert Morris, and then Thomas Hendricks.
Wow.
General Philip Sheridan. Then you had Lewis and Clark. Huh. Wow, this is pretty amazing.
It's a long list. It must have played.
Had one included that McKinley was on it also, right after he was assassinated. They put him on there. So they finally in 1914 put the portrait of Andrew Jackson on it. Sorry, They put Andrew Jackson. We're talking about Alexander Hamilton. When was that? Well, I don't even see when Hamilton was put on it. They have a list of all the different people that were listed, and I don't see when Alexander Hamilton. Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah, no, I did a lot of research on this, and I can't find where, when they put Hamilton on it. Interesting, interesting, interesting. Yep, no clue.
1929. Alexander Hamilton's face did not show up on the $10 bill until 1929.
Okay. Oh, that's really interesting. What the research I have ends in 1928, so I guess.
It all checks out.
Maybe I just missed that one. Yeah. Oh wait, I didn't. I thought I was going into the next thing here, and this is actually, it says 1929. That's when Hamilton was put on. There you go. See, I had to keep reading.
There you go.
I forgot to keep reading. I stopped. I thought it was a whole new section, and I thought we were talking about the next thing. They actually wanted to change it and Harriet Tubman or Susan B. Anthony on it just a few years ago in 2015. They wanted to change it and put a woman's face on it, but for some reason, that never really happened.
Yeah, for some reason.
They didn't change it.
Yeah.
Right.
For some mysterious, mysterious reason, they didn't put a woman's face on the money.
We're not going to go there.
Well, maybe, what was it? So Harriet Tubman or Susan, because Susan B. Anthony already had a dollar coin or something, didn't she?
Or Eleanor Roosevelt was also one of the options.
All valid choices.
Yeah. And so at this point, Neil decides that, okay, he's going to up the ante a little bit. So he offers him $17 and a hell of a nice watch.
Now.
Okay. Now, we see the watch.
Did you deep dive on this watch
yes,
already?
Yes, we did. But you can mention something about it if you want, because people have probably forgotten because we discussed it 68 episodes ago.
This is my favorite Moody watch. When he checks it in the meeting in the beginning of the film, I was like transported to, I suddenly became a watch fan where I had previously not really cared about watches at all.
Oh, wow.
The way this watch, it's a Piaget Polo 8273.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? They made a bunch of different styles under the Polo name. And then this one is 8273 if it's in a medium size, or 8673 if it's in a large size. They also made a small, which is like 8263.
Yes.
But there's several different types of dials available on these, and most common are the all gold like this, or they have an onyx and gold with alternating slabs of polished gold and black onyx, which also would have looked pretty dang cool. But this is just bars of gold on Steve Martin's watch, but the alternating black and gold would have been, like, you know, for 1987 or whatever, that would have been the coolest watch to have in like ever. They sound amazing. I found a couple online for like $1,000, and $1,000 back in those days was a lot more than $1,000 today. But you can buy a Piaget Polo watch. You can spend upwards of $10,000.
They're very expensive.
A Piaget Polo watch. So. Did you get the actual dollar value of this particular watch in 1987?
I did, and I'd have to look and go back to see where it was. No, actually, I think I found out how much it would cost to buy it today. But we'll get to there because the script mentions it. We'll get there a little bit.
Great. Okay.
Basically, one of the great things is at this point when he hands over the watch, we actually get to see what time it is. It's right now.
Right.
Only 12:30 a.m.
It's what? Really? Oh.
Yes.
So like after midnight.
Yeah, but I mean that's still absurd that it's only 12:30. You know,
is it? Because I'm
that's
doing this minutes out of context.
That's what they claim.
A lot more time seems to have passed.
No, not much. Not much time has passed. You'd think.
Oh,
again, it's a 5-hour drive from St. Louis to Chicago. They left when it was still daylight. It was daylight at the sunset around 4:45. So you would think that they would have already been in Chicago a long time ago. But, okay, what can you do? And then Neil walks out of the office after we assume that the clerk takes his offer. He walks out. He returns to the car. He once again burns himself as he's opening the car door, which we still see parts of it smoking, the seat.
This car cannot be this hot still in the cold weather. And metal's a good conductor of temperature. I don't buy it at all. It's funny every time it happens and it works. It's hilarious. I'm like, is this car like radioactive? Why is it still so hot? You know?
And he's able to put the keys in the ignition and tries to turn the car on, and we hear the engine stalling, and then we get a shot of Dell back in the office, who starts laughing, and
Great John Candy chuckle here.
and the clerk continues to smoke, you know, and what's interesting is in the same hand that he's holding the cigarette, he's also still holding the lighter. You'd think that he would have put the lighter down at this point. And then he says to him, "Would you like a room?" And then,
Would you like a room?
and that's basically the last dialogue in the minute. But we get to see the car backing up, even though it's not in the same place where they parked it earlier, because they parked right in
That's
front
right.
of the office, and somehow he now
They
needs
did.
to back up. So. Yeah, that's pretty much what we have for this minute. So the script actually gives us a little more of an extended conversation between Neil and the clerk, right? When the clerk says to him, "We need to make your credit
Okay.
card," so Neil says, "I don't have one. I'm tired. I'm cold. I'm humiliated. My marriage is collapsing. I'm 200 miles from home on Thanksgiving Eve. My car burned up. I have been insulted,
So good.
abused, assaulted, and robbed. Please have mercy. I've been wearing the same underwear for 3 days." So it's a little different.
Wonderful. It's a lot to lay on a motel attendant too. That's a bit much. You're really giving him much.
Exactly. And then Neil says to the clerk, "Be a sport. It doesn't cost anything." And then the clerk says,
Be
"Well,
a sport.
42.50." And then Neil goes, "How about $17?" And he goes, "How about $17 and a promise that I'll send you a check?" And then the clerk says, "I don't own the place." And then he says, "How about $17 and a hell of a nice watch?" Then the clerk looks at it and says, "Well, okay, but you can't use the phone or the satellite TV either." So then Neil says, "Well,
Oh.
how about a couple feet of toilet paper?" The clerk thinks for a moment a beat and he nods. And then the clerk turns from the desk and selects a room key. He gives it to Neil. Neil says, "Thanks. Enjoy the watch. It cost $1,500."
Ah, okay, there you
And
go.
in the script, they have it underlined with an exclamation point at the end. Right? And then Dell turns to Neil and says, "Neil, do you remember where that you got that money?" And he goes, "Yep." And he goes, "I gave it to you in St. Joe." And Neil goes, "And I thanked you for it." And then Dell goes, "All the time we spent together, all the things we've been through." Neil goes, "Step aside." Dell goes, "It doesn't mean anything." And he goes, "No." And then the clerk turns to Dell and goes, "You need a room?" So that's the way that minute ends.
Yeah,
So I like it.
I love Ferraro's delivery on "Would you like a room?" like he's following,
Meaning, what can you give me?
I'm going to go through the motel attendant script that I have to say to every customer, but wow, what is going on right now? I also like in these shots you see the old school credit card machine
Yeah,
beside
the knuckle buster.
Oh, is that what you call it?
Yeah,
Okay.
we discussed that back in episode, I think, 20.
Was a
So
knuckle buster what you came up with, or
no,
is
that's what
that
it was
what they were?
called.
Is it
It was called
an
because
Oh, I've never heard it referred
people
to
would
as that.
skin their knuckles on it too much.
I imagine they would. Yeah, that would be
It
something
had
like.
actually a few names. I don't remember any of the other ones offhand right now.
I just love that it's so heavy and steampunk, and because I remember whenever I would use a credit card back in the day, you'd get that shakunk chunk, as it goes across to get the imprint. Like it could have been a murder weapon. Those things weighed like 15 pounds. They were like these giant, mechanical pieces of work. It was very analog, very old school, and easy for fraud, I guess, because you had to like, what, mail the receipts somewhere, or like you know, it wasn't electronic.
Right.
It was just like a record.
All right. So every day we have a short little segment called Off the Beaten Track, where either myself or my guest will give a short story about an adventure, misadventure, anecdote, something that happened to us along the way. So Duncan, you got another one for us?
I do. One time, my mother was born in Penticton, but her family, most of her family was in Kelowna. So I lived in Nelson. I grew up in Nelson, as I mentioned. So I would often spend about 5 hours with the family going there every summer, every Christmas, that kind of thing. So we would drive to Kelowna often. One time, my family, my father and mother and my brother and I were driving to Kelowna. And we had stopped, I think, in Christina Lake, and I had gotten a toy boat, a plastic toy boat. And I had put it on the roof of the car. I might not have been taller enough to reach the roof of the car. Either I was playing with it and it went out the window as we were driving along on the highway, or it was on the roof of the car and it fell off. But I remember I looked back and I saw my toy boat in the middle of the busy highway, and I freaked out. I was like six or something. I was like, give me my toy boat, my boat. And I think at first I was like, oh no, and my mom was like, what, you know, like the door had flown open, you know, or something. But I was like, my boat, and I think she was like, Tam, pull over. And so they pulled over, and my dad was furious and was like, oh my god, it's a 50-cent toy boat. And I was still crying, and then my mom cajoled him into going to get it. So he got out of the car and walked into this busy, busy highway to pick up my boat that was like right on the yellow line kind of thing. And cars were honking at him as they sped past. And I remember looking back and being really scared, because I was thinking, oh, this is how I'm going to watch my father die.
Finding your little toy boat.
Car, retrieving my ridiculous boat that I got 5 minutes ago that, you know, I probably ended up playing with for like 2 months. You know, so he came back, he got it, he survived, he came back absolutely furious. I don't think he talked for the rest of the trip to Kelowna, but I just remember in that moment going, wow, that's a really amazing thing for a father to do, to go into like busy traffic to pick up his son's ridiculous cheap toy. I can't say I would do the same thing. You know, I can't say I would, but I was young and,
Okay.
And so I don't know, whatever. That's really, really burned into my head.
That's great. One of the Thank you for that story.
Core memory. Like,
so to answer your question, another name for the knucklebuster is a zip zap, a zip zap machine. That's what they were called.
Sure. Yeah. Very onomatopoeic, but I think I can agree with that name. I can see where that comes from.
Excellent. So you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Just go to put in by Duncan Shields for Twitter, for Instagram, and you know, get a copy of Small Windows off of the Amazon bookstore, wherever you pick up your ebooks. I think there's still some hard copies left in some places. And just go to chronologicallyspeaking.com to check out the movie-by-minute treatment of Tron, and go to the Time Bandits Minute to check out the ongoing exploration of the Time Bandits movie from 1981, 1 minute at a time, with my fantastic co-host.
And you can even hear me on it for a few episodes.
That's right. That's right.
All right. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher you might be using to listen to this show. And to find me, very simple, just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find my website. You can find me on Facebook or on Twitter. Duncan, you feel like coming back tomorrow to see what happens with Dell?
What the heck? Yes.
All right. Well, until tomorrow, you're fine.
You're fine.